Kia ora, coven. Welcome to episode 5, episode Rima of the Vixen Temple podcast. So in the last episode, let's talk about migrant sex workers. I mentioned that my Instagram page was deleted by Instagram. So for today's episode, I want to talk about what happened, give a very brief overview of the history of censorship, and I say brief because it's a very long topic to cover, so I did my best to try summarize some key moments throughout history, and then I'm going to talk about the implications of foster and sister. So grab a cup of tea and let's talk about censorship. Before we begin, I just want to issue a trigger warning for the introduction of this episode, as I'm going to be briefly mentioning my sexual assault and the victim-blaming rhetoric that I experienced. On April 15th, 2021, I opened my Instagram app to a login error. I was then informed that my account had been disabled for 30 days for violating Instagram guidelines. I figured it would be my performance artist account at VixenTemple666 for nudity. But to my surprise, it said I was removed for hate speech and violence. I then realized it was my Vixen Temple blog page. The specific post that caused the suspension was an image which reads, quote, "Sex work is not consent," end quote. The caption of said post talked about how I was unable to attend a Stop Sexual Violence march here in Auckland, and I touched on how my sexual assault was blamed on my job as a stripper. I mentioned that the judge at the sentencing trial for the sexual assault took a percentage of the final sentencing because, quote, "the male brain has not fully developed at your age," end quote. I believe that I am being targeted by Instagram not only for being a sex worker, but for openly critiquing the patriarchy, more specifically, the way straight cis white men treat sex workers. I know that sounds paranoid, but in the past I have had posts removed and my account threatened to be disabled for posting "I hate men" or "men are trash." More formal posts where I unpack male entitlement have been removed for hate speech. Almost any time I mention men, it gets removed for hate speech. 2 days after I was told that my page would be disabled for 30 days, I tried to log in so I could try to repeal the suspension, only to be informed that my page had been permanently deleted due to violating Instagram's terms. And as you can imagine, I was absolutely devastated. 2 years worth of content, gone. 2 years worth of work, of building a community that I was so honored to be a part of, gone. I was given very little warning, I was given no chance to try and fix anything. It was gone, and I was crushed. It took me a few days to process what had happened, and I still don't even really know how to describe how I'm feeling. I'm frustrated, I'm grieving, I'm tired and I'm very confused. I did everything I felt I could to make it a safe space and to follow the ridiculously sexist guidelines that Instagram provides, and yet I was still removed. I feel as though I'm being punished for something I did not do. In fact, dare I say, I feel as though I am being punished for speaking up about my sexual assault, and anyone else who has had to endure the trauma of the healing process of an assault can assure you that getting to a place where you can speak about it is a really big deal. And to get to that space, only to be silenced and to have my whole Instagram deleted, was heartbreaking. I did nothing wrong, and yet because I'm not a straight cis white male, I get punished. Men can send me death threats and dick pictures and get away with it. Apparently that's allowed according to Instagram. But saying sex work is not consent is considered hate speech? Don't try to fucking tell me that Instagram isn't targeting sex workers. I and countless other sex workers are living proof that they are. But why target us? Well, let's take a brief look at the history of censorship through the eyes of the porn industry specifically, and then we'll talk about foster and sister. Humanity has always been fascinated by sex, so it's no wonder that as the human race evolved, we figured out a way to capture our fascination of sex through art. Pornography has existed for a long time, the first known pornographic artifact dating back to primitive times. The Venus of Willendorf is a 4-inch statue of womanly figure created between 22,000 and 24,000 BC. The ancient Romans and Greeks introduced civilization to many wondrous things, and pornography was no exception. They enjoyed painting and sculpting scenes of orgies, oral sex, anything you can think of. Pompeii archaeologists discovered Rome's fascination with sex portrayed in art. Pompeii, in fact, was a hotspot for high-class citizens to visit for vocational purposes, engaging with extravagant food, fashion, and prostitutes. brothels in Pompeii were viewed the same way that we would view grocery stores now, just another service that was offered to society. The brothels were enriched with erotic images not only just for show, but as a menu option for patrons. Penis sculptures were common, and perhaps one of the most controversial discoveries, when compared to our modern sense of morality, is a statue of a man engaging in sexual relations with a goat. Ancient Indians were more intellectual compared to the ancient Romans and preferred writing books over sculpting giant penises. Many of us are familiar with, or at least have heard mention of, the Kama Sutra, an ancient Indian text on sexuality, eroticism, and emotional fulfillment in life. The European printing press in 1440 carried on this tradition of writing erotic books that told a story while arousing the reader. And with the invention of photography, it was only a matter of time before humanity used this creation to once again capture our fascination with sex. During the 1840s, photography was used to capture sexual acts between people. This would over time evolve to what we now associate with Playboy magazine, or the idea of the pinup girl. And finally, in 1896, we saw one of the first erotic silent sex movies, Bedtime for the Bride, directed by Albert Kirchner. I am so sorry if that's not how you pronounce his name. Over time, erotic films evolved into hardcore movies known as stag films, which were screened in brothels, male sleepovers, and gym locker rooms. There's no denying humans have long been intrigued by sexuality, and have always found a way to simulate this through an artistic means, whether it be in sculptures of human anatomy, painted portrayal of sexual acts or film. Pornography is a form of art, and the history of porn is art history. So why the negative stigma attached to porn? Why does our modern society try to erase porn, othering it so that anyone who engages in the porn industry is treated like scum? Well, in order to understand this, we need to travel back through time once again to 1960s America. That's right, the land of the free. If you're a straight white cis male, that is. When someone mentions porn, I'm sure many of you think of Playboy magazine. Founded by Hugh Hefner in December of 1953, Playboy magazine showcases nude images of your typical girl-next-door model. During the 1960s, the development of the birth control pill gave American women the freedom to engage in sexual relationships outside of marriage. This created a new sense of self-sovereignty over female sexuality, and American women started to celebrate sex as something they can engage in for pleasure, and not just to reproduce with their husbands. Playboy magazine, being launched at the dawn of the sexual revolution of the 1960s, meant the magazine was a massive success, bringing naked women into your bedroom through erotic images. But this is still 1960s America we're talking about here. A country engripped in patriarchy, American conservatives were horrified at the sexual revolution. The Supreme Court ruled that pornography was obscene material with no social importance and was subject to censorship. Seems oddly familiar to our current social climate, but we'll get to that shortly. The Hollywood film industry has long battled censorship. On the 31st of March 1930, the Motion Pictures Producers and Distributors of America issued a statement of policy called the Motion Pictures Production Code, also known as the Hays Code. The Hays Code had a set of strict rules and guidelines that filmmakers at the time had to follow in order to get their films approved and distributed by major movie studios. American bishops from the Roman Catholic Church organized the Legion of Decency. Doesn't that sound ominous? The Legion of Decency encouraged folks to boycott films they deemed morally unfit. With the Catholic Church having influence over what films could and could not show, we saw movies upholding the sanctity of marriage. Adultery or seduction were only allowed to be suggested or implied, never explicitly seen. Profanity, prostitution, drug use, nudity, and sexually suggestive dancing were all strictly forbidden. The code would eventually crumble, officially ending in 1968, during the time of the sexual revolution. Films started to portray nudity, and since the Hollywood industry was mostly run by old rich white men, this meant that the nudity being portrayed was female. The introduction of female nudity to film as common practice, as well as Playboy magazine only showcasing naked women, not only upset the Supreme Court, but of course, the church. The Catholic and Christian Church upheld the idea of the typical American nuclear family, a husband and a wife, a few kids and perhaps a dog, living the wholesome white picket fence life. The American dream. And the idea that women could have control over their autonomy through birth control upset this establishment, as well as the portrayal of women as sexually liberated beings. They preferred women being portrayed as the docile stay-at-home wife, not a sexually autonomous being. But the idea that women could be paid to pose naked and make a profit off her sexuality was not only an issue that the church had, but many second-wave feminists too became concerned with this portrayal of women. Now, on one hand, I can understand why. These films and images were being portrayed through the male gaze. The male gaze is a term coined by film critic Laura Mulvey, defined by how women are portrayed through film and literature to be positioned as an object for the male desire, placed in a shot to arouse and entice the male spectators. So I can understand how feminists at the time saw these Playboy models as victims of the patriarchy instead of exploiting it for their own gain, an argument we still see today used by SWERFs, sex work exclusionary radical feminists, who often try to save sex workers from the industry by illegalizing it. They truly believe that we are victims, trapped in our desire for male validation. What they, and many anti-sex work activists, fail to recognize is the liberation of being paid to do something that is expected for free. In this capitalist patriarchal society, to put a price on one's sexuality is an act of rebellion against the status quo. Sex workers upset the establishment that the church would still have us live by. Men are the breadwinner, and women are the baby makers. In this hierarchy, there is no room for trans, non-binary, or gender non-conforming folk to even exist. There is no room for sexual liberation or bodily autonomy, only submission into the supply and demand capitalist culture that is upheld by white supremacy and misogyny. Similar with the Hays Code, the censorship of porn shows the church and patriarchy's fear of what a society who embraces sex as a natural act and not an act between a husband and a wife would look like. They believe showing humans that sex comes in many shapes and sizes, oral sex, masturbation, group sex, anal sex, toys, the list goes on, would turn them into raving sex-craved maniacs. They seem to ignore the fact that ancient societies were able to embrace and celebrate sexuality and still exist in peace. But this was before the patriarchy, which positions especially white, straight, and cis men on a pedestal. If humans are having sex for pleasure instead of procreation, then they don't need to uphold the sanctity of marriage, and porn stars and creators are seen as a threat to this sanctity. As porn evolved into a booming industry in the 1970s, the Supreme Court reconsidered its strong stance on porn. With the invention of the internet, porn became more accessible. And finally, as humans were given a small camera in the palm of their hands with direct access to the internet, we saw a rise of homemade amateur porn. With sites such as OnlyFans and ManyVids rising in popularity, this means that anyone could create and profit from their own porn. You don't have to suit a physical requirement to be hired, as we often see mainstream porn have a heavy focus on white, hairless, able-bodied cis women. Instead, anyone can turn their bodies into a means of erotic art. Trans porn, interracial porn, non-gender conforming porn, etc. finally has a platform to be seen. And with the failing American sex education system, it's no wonder why we see the youth turning to porns as a means of sex education. Now, as a woman, I was taught that sex is something that is done to me. My pleasure was not important. Sex started with the male pleasure and ended once he climaxed. Through porn, I was able to discover the many ways in which I could experience pleasure. Sex did not just have to be a penis penetrating my vagina. Sex could be done on my own, with toys, with fingers and mouths, with other women or non-gender conforming folk. Porn introduced me to a whole new world of possibilities, and this is a world that many would argue is corrupting my mind. But the fear of my sexuality was much more damaging to my development as a woman. By treating sex as a hush-hush thing, I was put at a higher risk of being taken advantage of. Very similar to the way Regency women were raised to be married off to their best suitors, the act of sex was often kept from these women until their wedding nights. They would be sexually naive, leaving them to the mercy of their husbands. And as a teenager, I embraced my sexuality through porn, not knowing that I would one day profit from this industry myself. Stuck inside for lockdown? Why not use this time to get to know yourself a little more? You can use my code VIXENTEMPLE10 to receive 10% off your Adult Toy Megastore purchase. Adult Toy Megastore offers fast and discreet shipping and offers a variety of items, lube, dildos, vibrators, lingerie, and so much more. And you can use my code VIXENTEMPLE10, that's VIXENTEMPLE10, to receive 10% off your purchase.
This includes sale items, so be sure to catch the link in my episode description to check out Adult Toy Megastore. Thanks, Coven.
I started selling my nudes via Snapchat in 2018, right before Foster and Sister was implemented. The Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act, Sister, and Allow States and Victims to Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act, Foster, is an anti-sex work bill disguised as an anti-sex trafficking bill. The introduction of this bill in April of 2018 was detrimental to sex workers all over the globe, not just the US. Even in New Zealand, Instagram on my images started being deleted at a rapid rate. I remember losing an entire Instagram page due to sexually explicit content, and I struggled to promote my pay-to-access Snapchat. I felt like I was being punished for creating a profit off my sexuality, and little did I know that the war on sex workers was only just beginning. It's now 2021, and we are facing a new era of censorship. Sex educators and sex workers are being removed from social media platforms. We're being erased left, right, and center, and because of strict guidelines introduced to Facebook and Instagram in December of 2020, this will just continue to happen. The more we erase sex workers and sex-positive pages from the internet, the more we step back into a conservative 1960s America, and that is absolutely terrifying to me as a queer woman. The internet granted access to safe advice and bodily autonomy knowledge beyond our two-gender heteronormative binary. We finally were seeing a rise in our understanding of gender as a social construct, and I felt a second sexual revolution on the rise as sex educators and sex positivity pages took to Instagram to educate the masses. Sex positivity ranges from kinks and fetishes to embracing and accepting that not every human experiences sexual desire. The sex positive community understands that everyone has their own idea of what sexuality means to them, whether it be engaging in orgies, exploring kinks, BDSM, self-pleasure, or even opting out of sex entirely. But with the fear of censorship hanging over our shoulders like a gargoyle guarding a castle, I really fear for civilization. And I know that sounds dramatic, but it really is causing more harm than good. When we fear sexuality, we in turn fear ourselves. As noted at the start of this podcast, humans have always found a way to portray our fascination with sex and nudity. Porn is a means of art, capturing and helping us to evolve our knowledge of sexuality. Instead of fearing it, if we can accept sex as a normal human desire, then we can exist in a world that helps to understand the psyche behind sex. But with censorship othering sexuality and creating fear around it, how are we expected to evolve as a society if we're so afraid of the very act that creates life? Now, going back to my Instagram specifically being removed, as I noted earlier, I believe it's because I am a sex worker trying to provide an alternative lifestyle to people, or at least insight into this alternative lifestyle. I create a profit off exploiting the male gaze, and that upsets the establishment. Now, it's taken me a few days to process what's happened, and I still don't even fully believe I've processed it, because this is a new, strange phenomenon I've never experienced before. I was talking about it with a friend, and in many ways, the censorship online really feels like the modern witch hunt. It's another way of silencing those whose voices need to be heard more than ever. I'm so scared for the future, and again, I know that this sounds dramatic, but the censorship that we are facing, it's endangering people's lives. Foster and Sister is literally endangering people. Because of the implications of Foster and Sister, sites that were used by sex workers to blacklist bad clients and to give general safety tips have since been removed. And since we can't advertise our services online, many of us have to put ourselves into dangerous situations just to earn a living. If you make something illegal and the general public knows it's illegal, they know they can exploit us because they know that we have no one to run to when things go wrong. We're going backwards as a society, and this is terrifying. And having my Instagram being deleted without much of a warning was a big shock to me, but it just proved that the things I'm always preaching are true. Censorship is dangerous, and it was triggering for me to be censored over something so silly. To be told that speaking up about my sexual assault was hate speech was really upsetting to me. Initially, I wasn't sure whether or not to start another Instagram because having to build that profile that I created over 2 years and the content that I put into it seemed like too much work for me. I'm just really tired. the hours of free work that I put into it just to have it gone, taken away from me, it was really upsetting, and I didn't know if I had the emotional capacity to try again. My flatmate really summarized it perfectly. They said it's like I showed up to work and the whole office and building and all of my supplies had been burned down, but I was still expected to work. A few days later, when my other Instagram page was deleted, I suddenly felt like I was put into a box. Or in fact, kicked out of a box, and I was looking in and everyone was on their phones in this place that I was no longer a part of, and I just thought, why me? Why don't I belong here? I belong on this app just as much as everyone else, and I have every right to be on this app. We live in an era of existing online, especially because of COVID. Many of us have had to move our entire lives to the internet. So to have to go through this during an era of really intense censorship, it's really just awful. It's awful, and I don't know how else to put it. To know that I can't make a particular post about things because I have boobs and a vagina, and even when I do follow the rules, I still get deleted. They'll find loopholes to delete me. Oh, you want to talk about a sexual assault? That's hate speech. But a guy can send me a dick picture. I got sent one the other morning and I vomited when I opened it because I'm so triggered by the sight of an unsolicited penis, and this guy is just allowed to send it to me, and I was too scared to report his page because I was scared my page would get deleted. Do you hear me? Do you hear what's going on right now? This is happening to so many of us. Please, it's just not fair. I want to be on Instagram. As much as I hate the app, I have just as much a right to be on it as anyone else. And I chose to come back and start again with my Instagram because I thought if I don't, I'm just letting them win. And them deleting my page, if anything, just proves my point. They are targeting sex workers. They are targeting sex educators. They are targeting anyone who poses a threat to the establishment. And if anything, I take it as a compliment. They're threatened by me. They're threatened by anyone's page they delete. I'm talking about really important issues on my page and they shut me down. The bigger my audience got, they shut me down. So it just proved to me that now, more than ever, I need to speak. Like a phoenix rising from the ashes, I'm not going to let them silence me. And why should I? Fuck them. I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to keep posting. I'm going to keep promoting my work and raising awareness of issues that sex workers face, and to try elevate our voices, because they've just proved to me that they don't want us to have a platform. And we deserve one. I want to be following voices that uplifts and helps us to evolve as a society. I just think how many voices I've been denied the chance to listen to because they're being deleted. It's robbing me of my right to evolve as a human by being able to have access to these amazing people's pages to be able to challenge my perspective of things. And it makes me so angry to think of how many of these pages are being silenced, and of how much information I don't have the access to because of these stupid censorship rules that happen to be because of a stupid law in America, and they can still affect me all the way here in Aotearoa. I don't really know how to go about changing these laws other than talking about them to try raise awareness of them, and I really encourage you to do the same. Fuck Foster, fuck Sester, and fuck censorship. Because one of the saddest things about losing my page was that I lost my community. All of the beautiful people who have followed me and I followed, and we were able to converse with one another and just talk and connect. And then they're all gone. So I'm so glad if you found me and if you were able to find me. And please share my work with your friends so that I'm able to connect with other sex workers and to try and help educate the masses about our issues. Because that's all I hope to do with my page. And I was deleted for it. It's almost funny. I just have to laugh, you know. I was deleted for the thing that I'm always preaching. They just proved my point. But that's all for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Vixen Temple podcast. In the next episode, I have a wee announcement to make about the future of my blog and podcast. Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just thinking about potentially having a name change and giving the whole podcast and blog a wee bit of a makeover, so don't worry, I will discuss that more in the next episode. In the meantime, eat the rich, pay for porn, and burn the patriarchy. Aroha nui, coven. Stuck inside for lockdown?
why not use this time to get to know yourself a little more? You can use my code VIXENTEMPLE10 to receive 10% off your Adult Toy Megastore purchase. Adult Toy Megastore offers fast and discreet shipping and offers a variety of items, lube, dildos, vibrators, lingerie, and so much more. And you can use my code VIXENTEMPLE10, that's VIXENTEMPLE10, to receive 10% off your purchase. This includes sale items, so be sure to catch the link in my episode description to check out Adult Toy Megastore. Thanks, Coven.